503-733. Well, they had to throw their salads away.
Of course.
5,800 Taco Bells nationwide immediately remove green onions, according to Greg Creed, the president of Taco Bell.
They had to throw the salads away in toto, though, as they would say in the law. They had to throw their salads away entirely.
We continue to work around the clock to get to the root of this issue.
At tossing those salads into the trash.
If you have any questions, you can call Greg Creed directly at 1-800-TACO-BELL.
Mr. Creed! It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, behold the official newsman, president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show. He's Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so the big story today is these three Mountaineers stuck on Mount Hood, and they couldn't get them out because the weather got bad.
And hey, see, maybe it seems like there should be some sort of Mountaineer Watch theme that I can do. Hold on, let me see if I can find a theme for the Mountaineer Watch.
I knew you were going to do this.
Here's our lost Mountaineer Watch. All right.
Well, alrighty. So they're encouraged by improved weather. And they're trying to rescue these three guys. The Oregon National Guard sent UH-60 Black Hawk helicopters from Salem to join the search. I wonder if those are the same that crashed the last time. The helicopter was grounded, though, at Hood River due to a thick cloud.
What are you talking about, the Black Hawk helicopters?
Yeah.
Those are exactly the same ones that crashed when that idiot was in the crevasse.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at the, hello, I'm down here, I'm off the path, please come. And then the helicopters just smashed into the side of the hill. That's exactly the same, yeah.
The Lost Climbers, two Texans and one New Yorker who set out Wednesday appear to have tried a light and fast climb. Is that an express climb? No lines?
Is there some sort of a carpool lane up this? What did I understand? The two Texans and a New Yorker?
Yeah.
New York City? Because they don't have a lot of snow. I thought God had a special. I thought he protected Texans. I thought that was God's.
He puts them in the White House. Oh, no, that's Connecticut people. I'm sorry.
So there you go. A, quote, quick and fast climb. Look, I'm no outdoorsman. I am no mountaineer. But even I know that there is no quick and fast climb. Isn't Mount Hood the biggest mountain in this area? It's bigger than Rainier, isn't it?
It's 11,239 feet.
Yeah, 11,000 feet. You know, that's
high winds, heavy snow, ice, threat of avalanches, little visibility. They couldn't see their feet at times.
That is, anytime you can't see your feet, anytime you can't feel your legs. These
that's
are two
285
times,
miles an hour.
Stop and go home. Go back to the lodge.
Go back to Texas.
Quit trying to prove that you're a man. As Kenny Rogers would say, you don't have to climb to be a man. So
it is hoped that they are hiding in a cave.
Well,
which would make things really easy.
It'll make it easy. Just say it. Make it easy to find them and make it easy to find them and scoop them up. I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to sound unduly harsh about this, but it's 2.5 miles of ice that goes straight up, and you're from Texas. So, really, it's going to end badly for you. Unless you bring your...
this is no bucking bronco ride.
Unless you bring your crampons of escaping, there's no getting out of this, friend. So, you know, there you go.
The way it goes.
So, you know, let's hope your children are smarter.
Meanwhile, state troopers arrested a Seal Beach man twice on the same night for drunk driving.
Fantastic. Well, he's motivated.
Now, this is 70-year-old Wayne Davenport. He's charged with careless driving, driving with a suspended license after investigators said he lost control, crossed the lane Highway 20, and smashed into a guardrail shortly after 6 o'clock. Then, after 11:30, officers were called to a crash site in Highway 101 about 10 miles from the first accident. That's when they found a Jaguar driven by the same guy.
Wait, so, did they apprehend him the first time?
Yeah.
What do you do? What is it? Is drinking and driving just a thing where they let you go now?
Well, Davenport told them a friend picked him up from the hospital after the first accident, but he wanted to drive again.
I thought you went to jail for drinking and driving. I thought that
was... Well, you do, but he was injured, so they took him to the hospital.
Oh, I see.
And before that happened, a friend picked him up and put him back in the car and told him to drive off.
He skedaddled at the back door. All right, okay.
But this time he was taken directly to jail.
And without passing go.
Without passing.
Cameron, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah. You guys hear about the Pauly Shore thing?
You know, somebody told me about the Pauly Shore thing, but I don't really understand what it is. Was this in Odessa, Texas?
It was in Texas, and a couple people were heckling him while he was doing his routine.
That never ends well.
So he told him to, they had a problem to get on the stage, and then the crowd started chanting for the guy to punch him. Well, the guy did, I guess.
So is there video of Pauly Shore being punched? Oh, please.
I haven't seen the video.
Someone sent it to me. Sarah says there's video of Pauly Shore being punched. Is that
true?
Okay, please now to be sending me the video of Pauly Shore being punched. And Odessa's a mean town, by the way. Odessa, I have not been there, but Odessa is the town in which Friday Night Lights takes place. If you read Buzz Bissinger's book, Friday Night Lights, he lived in Odessa for 2 years. And Odessa is just one of those places where you don't want to go if you're uppity and giving a lot of back sass and so forth. Because they will take you up back and deal with you as Texans deal with things.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Somebody's got to send me that. All right. Thank you, Cameron.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, there you go. There's a news. Okay. Somebody find the Pauly Shore footage and send it to me. Here's Tim Riley.
Let's do a battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The president will not unveil a new way forward. They're going to keep repeating that, so get used to that phrase. New way forward fits nicely in a little index card. In Iraq until next year. That's a word from White House spokesman Tony Snow.
There's urgency, but not panic. And I just,
oh, there's
I don't
panic.
Oh, there's panic.
Plenty of panic,
not
yeah.
Not going to happen before State of the Union. I just don't want to lock in. I don't want people to have expectations on a specific date because we don't have it.
Yes, I'm sure that makes everybody in Iraq and those who have family members and loved ones in Iraq feel a lot. But what is this? Today's the what? The 12th? 11th? Yeah. What is today?
Today's the 12th.
That's okay. 13th. No hurry. Take some time. Take a long holiday. Let's place bets right now on whether George Bush takes a Christmas vacation while pondering when he's going
to
unveil...
The new way forward.
While pondering this, when he's going to unveil this new way forward, which he's already got! I mean, they were saying yesterday that he has it. He's just waiting.
He's waiting. Making his dad cry.
You're making the dad and the baby Jesus cry, George. So they said yesterday he's got. They didn't call it a secret plan, but they said he's got a heretofore non-revealed plan. That apparently he's just going to wait. He doesn't. He's just going to sit on it for a while and let it age like a fine cheese.
Meanwhile, Mr. Snow dismissed questions about whether the president is struggling to carve a new path for Iraq. I'm sorry, a new way forward for Iraq, and brushed off speculation about possible shakeups in the administration.
I'm not going to talk about anything that may or may not have been discussed, and furthermore, all deliberations. And I don't want you to interpret by that, aha, there's a shakeup. I don't want you to interpret it either way.
That won't happen.
Other than as a principled stonewall.
God, what a smug bastard.
Boy, don't you... Well, it's like Fox News.
Sure, well that's exactly where he came from.
It's where he came when he wasn't busy subbing, when he wasn't busy being a guest host for Rush.
That's another bullying white man.
Seriously.
I mean, he just... Now, look, and I do not advocate violence. Rick Emerson wishes that you behave peacefully, and
well, you won't get it from Democrats.
No, of course it's not... No, that's the thing. That's the
problem.
It's like
that's really the problem.
Even if I did advocate
smack somebody just once,
even if I did advocate violence as a solution, you're right. The Democrats are never going to give that to me. The Democrats are just going to go home and write a policy paper about something and put on an Argyle sweater and sit around and drink some chai tea and then do some Pilates and fall asleep. That's pretty much it, man. But just what a smug
I'm not going to talk about anything that may or may not have been discussed and
further
all deliberations. And I don't want you to interpret it like, aha, there's a shakeup. I don't want you to interpret it either way other than as a principled stonewalling.
Seriously, somewhere in a parallel universe, Tony Snow is being taken and shoved into a burlap sack filled with wild weasels. I mean, and he and we and all of us are better off for it. And you are exactly right about that. Democrats are just such pussies. Just such spineless little bastards who just will not stand up and get anything done. It just pains me. Gives me agita.
Meanwhile, Britain's Foreign Office said they'd like to avoid the use of the term war on terror from here on out. A Foreign Office spokesman said using the term war legitimizes the other side in the fight against terror. Sir Winston S. Churchill, the grandson of the former dead British man, Winston Churchill, calls this decision nonsense.
In the 1930s, they were saying, well, you mustn't
I hate this guy
say it like it is about Nazi Germany. It might make Herr Hitler angry. And now we're being told we can't anymore refer to the war on terror. It might make the Muslims angry.
I don't believe he is allowed in our club. Would you please check his ancestry?
Please make sure he's wearing Argyle stockings.
Seriously. These guys are all drawn.
Smoke a gentleman's cigar.
I believe you meant to come in the servant's entrance.
Where is my sherry?
All right.
Meanwhile, in case you missed all the action yesterday, Denis Kucinich, whose followers smoke pot, apparently, on Hawthorne.
They do. No, they smoke pot and they stink. They stink like an ass.
Were you guys totally accosted by clipboard people yesterday? Because I had three of them come to my door.
No.
No.
Wait, on Hawthorne at your house?
At my house.
Well, that's because you live near Hawthorne, though. That's why.
I have a big no soliciting sign with a light next to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that work?
It does, as long as you keep the light on and people can see no soliciting.
Yeah.
And if they're not foreigners. Right. Foreigners, they can't.
You need a good sign.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's enough that they have to, like, constantly harass me while I'm walking in my neighborhood down the street to go to the bank or something. It's why do you have to come to my house?
That's the thing. If you live anywhere near Hawthorne, because eventually they cost all the people that, you know, they've gotten everybody coming out of Oasis Pizza that they possibly can. And they're like, let's go over there! And, if you live anywhere near Hawthorne, you're going to get those. It is so bad, actually, that sometimes I actually now find myself taking the back way, in other words, not walking up and down Hawthorne, but walking up like Madison, which is one street over, I think it is. I think it's Madison that's one street over. And just walking that way and then coming around the back to go to CD Game Exchange. Because sometimes...
Well, because I'll just get enraged. I'm like, this is my neighborhood. Talk to somebody who's just coming here visiting. I'm like, leave me the hell alone.
You ought to put like a no soliciting sign.
Well, unfortunately, I was sitting outside hanging out with my friends.
Oh, no.
And then this woman comes up with an umbrella.
And you know...
And I'm not going to sign... I don't sign anything. I'm like, you can talk all you want, but you're not going to get a signature from me.
Well, because you know that they're all just on the payroll anyway. That's the thing. I mean, look, I'm all for people participating in the process. If you would like to make your... If you sleep better at night by engaging, by believing in this fiction that somehow your voice as a citizen makes a difference, if this is the fairy tale you choose to tell yourself so that you can rest your head at night, that somehow your engagement in the political process is going to have any effect, you know, who am I to intrude upon this fantasy world in which you live? But leave me alone. And the other thing is, you know that like half of those people on Hawthorne don't really understand or care about whatever it is that they're getting signatures for. They're just there because they're being paid by the signature or by the hour by some conglomerate. So,
I asked this woman for any kind of information. She's like, well, I just need your signature. I'm like, do you have anything that I can take inside and perhaps look over? She had no idea. She's like, well, I'm with Osprey. I don't know exactly.
Oh, those guys accost me all the time. What the hell is that? That's some organization that nails me every time
I'm
on the
phone. Yeah, and they just walked up to my house, and she didn't know anything about what she was talking about.
You know, the first time, Tim had it right, actually. From now on, the Rick Emerson Show is going to advocate punching people in the face when they anger you or when they're not being...
Or just a light slap.
A light slap or just one good kick to the groin. You'll find that they'll come around after that. No, because it is your headquarters. I don't know if it will be, but it was this last time around, right off Hawthorne on like 37th, next to, I think it's called the Red Door, and there's the Buffalo Exchange, whatever, and there's a bookstore now there, but that was his headquarters, and I swear to God, it was kind of a great Portland moment, but at the same time, it was just one of those things. It's one of those things that's simultaneously great and terrible about Portland. I would bicycle by there sometimes, and it would be like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I'd be coming back from somewhere, and... There's no business being done. It's just the sound of Bob Marley coming out of there and, like, waves of pot smoke. And I would look inside, and there's just flickering candles and people, like, dancing in a circle inside. You know? Which, you know, it's hard to believe he didn't win anything. But, I mean, they did seem to be having a good time. So there you go.
So anyway, he announced yesterday he's running for president. And he's talking about this John Hopkins University study that estimates more than 600,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed since the U.S. invaded in 2003.
Are we closer to a stable transition in Iraq, or are we closer to collapse? How would we react if this was happening here?
Oh, yeah, he's going to win. He's going to win a lot. Boy, he makes Joe Lieberman sound like the Federal Express guy.
Yep. But Lieberman won.
It's true. No, it really is true. See, now more than ever, I want a Joe Mentum shirt. Mm-hmm. But now more than ever, they're difficult to find. That's the thing. Joe Lieberman, you know what Joe Lieberman is like? Joe Lieberman is like a band that you were sort of a big fan of. But then they became really popular, and now it's hard to get tickets to their show. I was trying to get a Joe Mentum shirt forever, because we were old-school Joe Lieberman, but now it's going to be difficult, because he managed to win something.
Meanwhile, Donald Rumsfeld finally speaks. He tells Fox News he had offered his resignation to the president three times previously, Rumsfeld said Bush finally accepted his fourth attempt to resign.
The outcome of the election, just to put it right up on the table, created a situation where I personally believe, and the president agrees, it is better for someone else to be leading this department with that new Congress.
Okay, first of all, if you're the Secretary of Defense and you are in charge of this thing which we are not calling a war, but which is a war, clearly, if you are the Secretary of Defense and you find yourself having tried to resign twice, let alone three times, really, it doesn't matter whether the president says that he accepts it or not. You ought to just leave because you're clearly doing a bad job. Anytime you find yourself trying to quit a job three times, you ought not to be there.
The president allegedly seeked out advice from military commanders in Iraq this morning via a satellite video conference. Among them is General Wayne Dowding, who told NBC's Today Show that Bush appears to change his mind about Iraq policy.
I think he's looking for some answers, and the impression that I had is that there will be some changes. Now, I don't know if it's going to be all 79 recommendations of the Iraq Study Group. I doubt that, but I think you're going to see some new things come up.
Okay.
The general says Bush had a favorable reaction to what the experts had to say.
Well, I think the president was very engaged. He listened very intently, and he also asked a lot of questions. He probed.
Man,
if he didn't understand
lunch.
A point, he asked for more detail.
Uh-huh.
That's our battle watch for today.
There's your battle watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. Now we have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Let's see, we have people asking. Rick, the question is, which climber tastes better, the New Yorker or the Texan?
Oh.
Well, I don't know.
Is one of them named Timothy?
He notes that Texans are nice and corn-fed, but probably high in the fat count. The New Yorker probably eats a healthy diet, though they might be tough and chewy. However, you are surrounded by rocks for tenderizing. These are the observations of the Rick Emerson audience. We, of course, here at the Rick Emerson Show, we don't advocate such morbid observations. That's not what we do here.
Something we discussed yesterday is being discussed by others, and none other than U.S. News and World Report, a very conservative magazine. So here we go. The headline is, Clinton-Obama ticket stirs fear in the GOP.
Bam!
The possibility of a potential Democratic presidential primary matchup between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama could lead to a Clinton-Obama ticket. It's raising concern in GOP circles.
So happy.
It might be unbeatable. I think we have to agree.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Well, Democratic strategists are more skeptical about the success of a ticket composed of two minorities. Some Republican advisors to the White House and leading 2008 hopefuls John McCain is turning into a jerk lately.
He's, you know what he is? He's turning into, and I don't mean your, but I mean he's turning into the figurative your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain has become the whole, I'll take those bikes away, you kids. Get off my lot. He's become that guy.
And Rudy Giuliani could be on that ticket, too.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. Can you imagine the voter turnout if there was an Obama and Hillary ticket? I mean, I can't. And I know that they said that about the last election, and then the kids were going to show up in 2004, and then they never did, and we all got the pointy shaft.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I can't even fathom what the turnout would be if there was a woman. Because now, are we thinking it would be Hillary for president, Obama for vice? It would have to be. It would have to be that way.
And then further down the line,
he becomes the presidential candidate.
As soon as we get used to women and blacks in the White House.
I can't even imagine what the turnout for that would be, because you know that the turnout on the GOP side would just be insane. You know that the right-wing turnout, just to keep Hillary and Obama out of the White House would just be through the roof, and so you know as a result. See, here's the thing. This is what no one ever... This is what the GOP understands that the Democrats don't. And again, I should note that I am not a Democrat in any way, because Democrats are useless and spineless. They accomplish nothing. So I am not a Democrat. But simply from a... I really ought to rent my services out. You know, they ought to just employ us. They ought to just employ us here, the Rick Emerson Show, to tell them what to do. Because we always see these things with much more christicality.
Well, they need to get rid of the Paul Begalas of the world.
Well, seriously, because you never win anything with those guys. The only... I mean, the... the thing that the GOP understands that the Democrats do not. The
stupid. Very stupid.
The people are goddamn morons. No,
they don't know about issues.
And easily led. Rings through the nose. That's it. The GOP understands that people vote out of fear and loathing. That's what it is, man. People vote out of hate. That's what gets people to vote. People don't vote because of things they like. People don't vote because of things they support. People don't vote because of things that they're in favor of or fans of. People vote because of stuff they hate.
Right.
That's what Karl Rove understands that the Democrats never get.
And it's not that Republicans are stupid. They're smart. They know to treat people like they're stupid.
That's exactly what it is.
Right.
That's
these are not stupid individuals.
No. The GOP are smart. It's the people that they get to vote
right.
who are not terribly educated. Or bright. And not that Democratic voters are any brighter. They're not. It's just that the Democratic voters are just as stupid. It's just that the Democratic Party is not quite bright enough to corral them. So the GOP understands that what you do to get people to vote is you whip them up into hating something. And I'm not saying this I'm not trying to damn the GOP. Again, the Democrats would do it if they were just goddamn smart enough to, but they're not because they're deeply, deeply stupid. And so what will happen is if Hillary and Obama... See, it just sends little shivers of pleasure.
See, here's what's going to happen. Obama can help push closely divided states like Ohio over to the Democratic column, giving the Clinton-Obama ticket to the White House. That's what's going to happen.
And here's the thing is the GOP will totally turn out their voters because the voters will hate the idea, you know, that real narrow, like insanely right-wing and nutcase conservative Christian base will hate the idea of the Hillary Obama ticket. And so the GOP will turn on all of these voters who hate Hillary and Obama. And then in turn, though, what the Democrats have got to do is the Democrats have got to just turn the election into hating the people who are going to vote against Hillary and Obama. It's the only way you're going to win. And it may sound cynical. It may sound like I'm being nihilistic. I don't care. I'm not talking about what is right or decent or moral or productive. I'm simply talking about what's going to have to happen for the Democrats to win. And I will tell you that, and I've said this before and before and before and again, and nobody ever believes me, but I'll tell you that Hillary Clinton right now beats almost any white male, period, on the ticket. Especially McCain, who's self-destructing. Giuliani, who's got so much weird personal political baggage. Who was just viewed as just a fascist by so many people in New York, and he got divorced, and he had that extramarital affair, and so, yeah, Hillary Clinton, hands down, is at least an even. She's at least breaks even with and probably beats any white male political candidate. And you add Obama to the ticket, man, Republicans don't even need to show up. They can just stay home. Ugh, makes me happy.
For some reason.
Well, Scotty is saying, I disagree. Hillary will not win. That's exactly the point. That is exactly what we're talking about right there. That is exactly why Hillary will win, though. Because Hillary and Obama will run. Scotty and everybody who lives in Scotty's neighborhood will think that the seventh seal has been broken and Satan has been loosed upon the earth, which will in turn drive up the Democratic turnout if they just know how to channel everybody's anger. So, yeah.
Well, Barack, for some reason, was on prior to Monday Night Football on ESPN last night. He appeared on tape. At first, it looked like he was about to make a political announcement, but in the end, it was about football.
Tonight, I'd like to put all the doubts to rest. I would like to announce to my hometown of Chicago and all of America that I am ready for the Bears to go all the way, baby. Dun, 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 dun.
Ma, 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 ma.
See, because I thought he was going to talk about something, and then he talks about something else. Ah. Do we have to finish this Obama story? Do we have our mother Obama news?
I have another one here. It says, this is most of the Obama tape prior to the NFL game last night on ESPN, whatever that might be.
I'm here tonight to answer some questions about a very important contest that's been weighing on the minds of the American people.
See, this is just going to be a longer version.
This is a contest about the future. A contest between two very different philosophies. A contest that will ultimately be decided in America's heartland. In Chicago, they're asking, does the new guy have enough experience to lead us to victory? In St. Louis, they're wondering, are we facing a record that's really so formidable? Or is it all just a bunch of hype? Let me tell you, I'm all too familiar with these questions. So tonight, I'd like to put all the doubts to rest. I would like to announce to my hometown of Chicago and all of America that I am ready for the Bears to go all the way, baby. Dun, 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 dun.
Ma, ma, ma,
and here we are again. All right. We'll come back and talk about this a little more. We've got some phone calls and email and so forth about this. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley returns in mere minutes. The Ministry of Truth. Top of the hour, Ed McCarthy will come on to talk about these guys from Texas and New York City who have decided to climb Mount Hood. They chose poorly. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. Hey, speaking of this, Ben, we have Van Halen news to get to. 503-733. The mediocre resurgence of 80s rock bands continues unabated. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Who are back, Scotty? What, Van Halen are back? But not really. All right, well, we'll get in a manner of speaking. We'll get to it. Tim Riley returns in just a few seconds from the Ministry of Truth. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I want to go a little bit political, if I can, about the guys on the mountain. Well, yeah. If they're stuck, I'm going to call it a rich white guy disease. If you don't see any real working people doing this, we're all going to pay the taxes to rescue these idiots.
No, it's true. Well, it's like every time one of those douchebag billionaires gets himself lost in a hot air balloon somewhere.
Yeah, they're not in any way heroes.
Every
they're
time
not
that happens,
exploring the Great Northwest anymore.
Every time that happens, I just root for the sharks or a polar bear to get that guy.
They
you know
should
what
pay
I mean?
For their own rescue.
No, I'm with. Well, I mean, isn't that? Didn't they just do that to somebody? Where am I thinking of? Or they just made somebody pay? Was it the forest fire? It was the guy they rescued from the fire that he started?
Probably that.
And they charged him. They're like, your ass is paying for this.
Right.
Same thing. No, it's the same. You're exactly right about that. Especially if, look, it's one thing if you are climbing a mountain, you know what you're doing, you plan it out, and then there is a force majeure. There is an unforeseen act of God. There's an earthquake. There's a blizzard comes out of nowhere, whatever. If you're just some jackhole that doesn't really know how to climb and you're thinking you're going to go 2.5 miles up on a sheet of ice and you end up having to eat your brother inside a cave somewhere, that's on you, not me.
That's right. That's why I call it the rich white guy disease.
Rich white guy
disease. That's who you see doing it.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Right. Bye.
There you go. That's done. Now, on that, we can all agree. That's true. All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Tim Riley rejoins us from the that thing we call the Ministry of Truth.
Well, then there was that guy who got second to snow for 2 weeks, who stayed in his Jeep and was found by a snowmobiler.
Now, was that
here? In Washington, let's see here. In rural Lewis County, he was driving to Oregon afterwards to help search for the people who got lost. Apparently, let's see, this guy's name was James, Daryl James. He began November 18th when he left his home in Bainbridge Island to attend a sky-watching event at Trout Lake. And it was a clear sunny day. He decided to take a shortcut on a U.S. Forest Service road he took before. His tires get stuck in the snow. A blizzard buried him inside his Jeep. He was there for 2 weeks.
He chose
but
poorly.
But he stayed inside, and the snowmobile found him.
Now, there you go. So the point is, stay in your car. And if you're in Texas, just stay in Texas. Kelly, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I got a question. You guys may or may not be able to help out here. Got a debate going with my coworker. Are we technically at war?
No, there has never been a declaration of war against Iraq.
There has never been a declaration of war against Iraq. I just won $100.
Yeah, what, really?
Yes.
Awesome.
Do you have a coworker?
Yes, I do.
Put him on the phone.
Oh, actually, he's walking around looking at the house right now. He gave me the phone.
Yeah.
I'm actually Dale. Kelly's the one that took the $100 loser response.
Yeah, no, we had Scotty J. We were giving Scotty J. a citizenship quiz the other day to see if he would be able to become a citizen of the country. He would not because he failed abysmally. Scotty believed that there could be a declaration of war by the president. There is not. It requires a congressional act to be at war. We have never issued any such act. This is a war in name only.
So is this why is this the the small print that allows him to keep our troops over there?
Yeah, no, it's because people are stupid.
Largely it's because people are stupid. Yeah, but the president has, I believe it is an issuance. I just asked Lisa Goddard this yesterday, actually. I'm trying to remember what the phrase she used. But the president is able to do a deployment of force or a troop deployment. But because it's not a declaration of war, Congress can't force the troops to come home. All they can do is sort of turn off the money, which would then eventually force the troops to be brought back. But because they've never declared war, Congress can't order the troops back. They are there at the pleasure of the president, as they say.
So then all the hubbub that was being pimped over the airwaves recently about...
Yes, the brouhaha.
the brouhaha. About us being over there longer than we were... in World War II.
We have been in Iraq longer than we were involved in World War II, yes.
Okay.
That is true. That, although World War II, again, was a war. We actually did declare a war there. But in several places, Vietnam, I believe, and I'm sure that... I don't think Korea was ever a war. I think Korea was just
a
police...
conflict.
A police action.
That was my bonus question, because from what I understand, we're still in conflict with Korea. There's just, like, a cessation of hostilities.
Yeah, I'm glad, by the way, that the war does have one benefit in that it won you a C-note. So, you know, it's not... George Bush has been good for somebody, at least. George Bush has made somebody a little bit of money. He's been good for you.
Well, here's the rub. He's not present right now to hear this conversation. So I'm going to play dumb, you know, which is not hard for me. I'm going to play dumb and continue, you know, on debating him, and then I'm going to go ahead and extend my hand and make the bet.
You see if he'll go like double or nothing on some other bonus question. Seriously, you should totally sandbag and totally hustle him. Just be like, I don't know. You just make it double or nothing. See if you can get him to up the bet.
Okay, and I can make a small prediction here. You're going to probably get another phone call from him. Just you know, crack wise and act like nothing ever happened. That this conversation never occurred.
No. Okay, so are we all on the same page here? Kelly never called us.
Okay.
Right on, guys.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. Or Dale, rather, never called us. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A judge has thrown out a lawsuit filed by two South Carolina frat brothers against the makers of the film Borat. The two would appear in a film heavily drunk and making racist remarks about slavery. They claim the makers of the film got them drunk and tricked them into participating. They also said their reputations were being damaged, and one lost a job at a major company while the other was denying a prestigious internship. Since the movie was leaving theaters, the pair wanted the scene to be cut before the film goes into DVD, but the judge in L.A. rejected their bid.
Oh, so sorry.
What's that?
You still haven't seen Borat, have you?
I have not.
You got to see it. It's a pop culture event.
I can't bring myself to pay full price for a movie.
But see,
it's in St. John's.
Well, I didn't mind because I felt like I was supporting. It's like buying a CD at full price. You feel like you're supporting something that you want to see more of.
Okay.
Because look at it this way.
But I haven't seen it. I don't know if I want to see more
of
it.
You do. Would Tim Riley steer you wrong?
Tim Riley would not steer me wrong.
I mean, maybe you don't believe me, but you believe Tim Riley. Tim Riley would not steer you wrong.
Right.
The assembled masses who listen to this
program.
Have
you seen Little Miss Sunshine yet?
No, Lara saw it at Sundance, but I did not.
Oh,
I ended
it's
up not
playing
going.
At the Baghdad right now. You should go.
I heard it was good.
That. It's a great movie.
I heard it was very strong. Here's the thing about Borat. Here's why you got to go pay full price for movies that are good. Because you may have this distinction in your head, Sarah, that Tim and I have, where you don't want to pay... You know, full price.
You know,
Matt, have to.
$6.25. How about $6.25?
But realize that there's some retarded family from Beaverton with their fat, goddamn little children rolling themselves into a multiplex every weekend out of habit, paying full price for dreck.
Eating big barrels of popcorn that have to be put on wheels.
Dick Clark
and sitting
style.
Right next to you and slamming that cup into the hole that's louder than the audio coming out of all the speakers.
And laughing really loudly at a preview for a new Robin Williams film. So there you go. So it's like, you know, you got to vote just to cancel out your parents. You got to go to this. You got to go to see Borat just to cancel out people who are going to see Happy Feet.
Here's Tim Riley. And somebody has to take that hole out of the arm that kids slam their paper cups into while you're trying to watch a movie.
Sticky and so forth. And yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, slamming their drinks.
Slam.
I think I sense a grudge in the air.
I just feel like grabbing somebody by the hair and going, slam.
You're really into hitting people today.
I am.
Okay. Scotty, get it.
Because the Democrats aren't doing it. And they really need to be.
Fantastic. Shauna, hello.
Hi. Hey. I had a comment about the whole climbing issue that we seem to be having. I think that they should have to, when they register their climbs, they should have to have some sort of insurance. And if they don't get the insurance, then they don't get rescued.
No, it's true. And I have said this for the longest time. This sort of reminds me of something I've said about the roads. I think that there ought to be a road on the highway. I'm talking the freeways now. That is sort of a... It has sort of a it's sort of fenced off, you know. There you can get onto it via an overpass, and there's breaks in the fence every now and again where you can merge into this. But there ought to be a lane to the far right that has sort of a that has wire over it, and in that lane you can go as fast as you want. You can drive fast on the snow. You can drive as quickly as you want. But if there's an accident in that lane, you are the very, very last item on the ambulance priority list if there's a conflict. They get you last after everybody else has been helped. By using that lane... Yeah, and by using that lane, you're like, hey, I'm going to get there quickly, but you know what? If I get into an accident, they're going to get me after everybody else. I'm with you on that. With the it's like when you the packing insurance when you send something to Britain. I am totally with you on the climbers.
Okay, have a nice day.
God bless you, Shauna. You call us anytime.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. There you go. That's Shauna. That's a great idea. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's time for the joy of Christmas.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't let me get the set. It's time for another exciting installment of Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Removal, the Christmas trees are returning to SeaTac Airport, Seattle. Last night, authorities began reinstalling the 14 trees that were taken down after a rabbi threatened to sue if a menorah wasn't added to the holiday display. SeaTac director Michael Rice says a rabbi gave him a short deadline to put up a menorah or face a lawsuit.
After not getting the response he wanted, he had his lawyers draft a complaint prepared for federal court and sent that to us and gave us a hours-long deadline to respond before he filed the suit in federal court.
What do you think? Does the rabbi need punching or not, Tim?
I'm not, no.
All right,
no.
So
we give me a reason to it.
No, I'm just saying, just you know, we're just gonna, from now on, we're just gonna weigh in.
There are certain groups I don't wish to irritate. Choose your battles wisely. Things can be settled diplomatically, as they have.
We'll recuse ourselves on the question of punching the rabbi.
Yes,
or cursing at Jemima.
Yes. Meanwhile, other items relating to the holiday season, as we quickly try to steer away from that one.
Fantastic.
In Orange County, Florida,
yeah! Up your nose with a rubber hose.
That was me.
The problem isn't dashing through the snow, it's cars darting down the road at high speed. So Orange County Sheriff's Office is doing something about it, launching Operation Elf, enforcing limits, and finding speeders. Here's how it works. A sheriff's deputy dressed as an elf clocks cars with a radar gun, then dispatches the motorcycle deputies to pull them over and issue the driver a ticket.
Oh, God.
More than 150 have been issued so far.
Imagine being ticketed by a guy in a freaking
big pointy ears
elf costume. Seriously, I am opposed to the beating of civic employees and government employees of any kind. But seriously, if there's a guy who deserved a beating, it's a guy in an elf costume trying to write you a speeding ticket. That's just insult to injury.
The baby Jesus has been stolen and a beer can placed in the manger. Dateline, Plaistow, New Hampshire. That's where my brother lives. Robert and Rosemary.
Maybe. Do you know where he was? Do you know where he was last night?
I don't know. Rosemary and Bob say they were shocked to discover the nativity scene they've been displaying in their front yard for more than 30 years have been vandalized. Very disappointing, said Bob. I can understand sometimes kids play games and things on the lawn, but this is very, very sad. A vandal removed a plastic baby Jesus from the display and replaced it with a Budweiser Select beer can. Bob and his wife, Rosemary, say they have lived in Plaistow for more than 50 years and have never experienced this kind of vandalism. He urges the thief to return the figurine with no questions asked.
Well, at least he left something there.
Yep. Omaha. While many Christmas trees sparkle with tinsel and lights during the holiday season, some reek of fox urine and wear a splatter of pink stain. A surge in Christmas tree poaching has forced growers and property owners to take action. Smelly, discolored trees are less likely to be cut and dragged out by thieves, say they. The University of Nebraska and Lincoln, for example, are spraying their evergreens with fox urine and tagging them with a warning to discourage tree thieves. Yes, it's a strong odor, and it smells just like it is. Fox urine. When the tree is out in the cold, the smell isn't noticeable, but when you get it inside, it smells like a fox just peed in your living room.
But, you know, I got to tell you, when we were going over to the First Avenue building, we walked out through the lobby of the coin tower here, and there was that great moment. We walked through the vestibule.
Oh, that's nice.
There's the warm pine
it
tree.
It smells so good. It's in both of those.
And that's not the fake pine spray either. That's those big-ass wreaths.
It's the kind of thing you want to put in an aerosol can and take it with you.
It is.
Oh, I thought that it was a fake pine salt smell.
I don't think so.
Well, I couldn't tell because it just comes out of nowhere. There's this wonderful warm little box you're in before you go outside.
I think there's a huge wreath, I thought, hanging in that vent. Well, it smelled convincing to me.
It's to make up for them taking out our restroom.
Yes, it's true.
More stories from the joys of Christmas. A primary school sacked a woman teacher for not telling heartbroken 19-year-olds there is no Father Christmas.
This I'm sorry.
From London.
What?
For what?
From London. This is for telling heartbroken 9-year-olds there is no Father Christmas.
Oh, nine.
Nine.
Okay.
No, nine. All right.
Parents are furious when tearful youngsters went home saying that they've been taught elves and fairies don't exist either. A teacher in her 30s had her contract terminated after complaints to the head. A mum said her daughter was shocked to be told, "You're old enough to know there is no Santa or fairies." Of course, we know this woman is wrong. Mom's listening right now in their minivans. There is a Santa Claus. They just took the magic away from the children, said the mother of one of the pupils. Everyone is disgusted. We have followed up on the matter with our agency, said the principal of the school.
Were you really just warning moms in the... Were you just assuring mothers in minivans that there is a
totally
Santa Claus?
I would have been totally distraught.
There are no children listening.
There might be.
Yes, there
is a Santa Claus.
It's 1 o'clock.
What about all Scotty's followers in the suburbs?
What about
Scotty J's posse?
Shouldn't they be in school right about now, learning?
No, the moms are taking a break at Marie Callender's.
I think the moms might know. I think the moms might. If you're really.
And what about little Betty,
Scotty,
or Veronica, who's riding in the car right now, or Archie, or Reggie? Is being picked up from Little League practice.
Mrs. Grundy. Scotty, how old are
you? They're on the way to the chocolate shop.
Scotty, how old are your children? Pops, chocolate.
Aren't they like 9 and 11?
12 and 8.
Oh, close.
12 and 8. Well, no, here's the thing. Now, let me ask you this, Scotty. I had to call Scotty on Sunday night to ask him about Ryan, the toilet guy. Who was it that answered the phone, Scotty? When I called your house... Was that your daughter? Was that your wife? Or because sometimes you can't tell voices. Really? Interesting. Because his daughter, 8 years, I won't use her name, but his daughter, 8 years old, answered the phone. I said, "Hello, is Scotty there? Do your children know you as Scotty?" I mean, they call you Daddy probably,
J.
But I mean,
Daddy J.
But do you, I mean, if I was to ask your kids what your name is,
would they know?
Oh, really? That was your son? Oh, that's unfortunate.
I think they would at least know their last name.
Is this?
An H would they know
okay,
that.
This, I'm just going to say, this name you're typing on the screen. This C name, is that your son?
Constance?
Cadence? What kind of a name for a boy is Cadence? I think we may have discovered the root of some of the issues you have with your son, Scotty. I think you may have named him incorrectly. I think naming... No, but I'm just... Now, did you pick that name, Cadence, for your boy? Why do I suspect that your wife picked that?
Maybe it's an old family name.
You picked it?
Okay.
Kate, whatever you say, friend. I don't even remember what I was talking about now. Here's the thing. Now, Tim Riley pointed out something that we try to be conscious of every year, that we try to be circumspect, because as my grandmother used to say, little pitchers have big ears. Mm-hmm. Now, does anybody, how do I put this? How old was everybody here when you found out?
My evil cousin told me when I was 8.
Really?
I was way older than all of my other friends because my parents did such a good job.
14.
I was like in fifth grade.
Really?
Where's Father Christmas coming back? But everyone has the Eddie Haskell relative.
Now, was your cousin couldn't wait to tell you?
Yes, he told me.
Was it just to make you cry?
Oh, that's terrible.
No.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just saying everybody has that relative.
I can't remember exactly when it happened, but he seemed to ruin everything all the time.
Of course. Well, yeah, no, I had a cousin that also did that. See, the thing is, I can't remember believing. I'm not saying I didn't.
I believed in the Easter Bunny for so long because my mom... Yeah, because she had this genius thing that she did where she would make footprints. Don't ask me why. It made sense at the time. Okay, she would make Easter Bunny footprints going in with flour and a thing. She'd make footprints coming in from the back door.
So, there was dust falling off the bunny as he walked?
it made sense.
No, I understand. When you're
it sounds ridiculous now, but seeing the footprints go up to our baskets and then back out the door.
Well, that's kind of cute. Now, when you're a kid, things like that have their own internal logic.
Oh,
and
I used to help
Santa Claus by taking the sled and pushing the runner on the roof up to the chimney.
Excellent.
And having it fall on my head afterwards.
I remember doing the thing of leaving out the whatever, leaving out like milk and whatever they had.
I would also think about if Santa's
Yes, I did. We
still do those dumb traditions in my family. I had Nate over for Christmas last year. He's coming again this year.
There's like cookies left out for Santa?
And we do like a whole like story reading. Oh, God, it's so lame, but
it's
our tradition.
It's not lame, but see, that's the thing is
has a little bit of a traditionalist in them.
I don't find Christmas traditions to be silly. I mean, you can sort of recognize that maybe they're you know, from an outside perspective, they're a little unorthodox, but I don't find any of those things to be silly. That's the one thing that I do not do. I don't mock anybody for their Christmas or holiday traditions at all. I'm an unashamed, unabashed lover of Christmas. It is kind of interesting when I think back, though, that I really can't remember when I found out or how. It must have happened at some point. God, I mean, my sister did. I can't remember now. I'd hate to think that I was just such a little type A, just left-brain bastard that I just always knew. That might explain a lot, actually, about my rather joyless personality. All I remember is being terrified of the nativity scene because we had, like, the actual spun glass angel hair that my dad just would fill us full of fear about everything. Just everything was going to kill us. Let me ask you.
I think that old-fashioned angel hair was cancer-inducing.
No, I don't think it was cancer-inducing.
I believe so. I think it came from John's Manville, which were causing trouble because people were making these asbestos things that they were building patios out of, and people were inhaling the dust and dying.
Well, So you're telling me that my nativity set was made out of asbestos?
Yes, the byproducts of asbestos. At least mine were.
Where did you grow up?
In the Love Canal
in New Hampshire.
We had a tannery on one side, and we had an asbestos plant on the other.
So basically, you should get to the doctor now.
Well, basically, no one in my neighborhood passed the year of 50.
We shouldn't be waiting. We should get into this news pile now. My dad's thing with the angel hair.
Cancer inducing.
I don't think so. Well, I'm not saying your angel hair wasn't.
I'm going to investigate this.
You have the hair of an angel, Tim. No.
You know Tim will get to the bottom of it.
We should clarify this for non-Catholics. Is this only a Catholic thing?
Angel hair.
The nativity set. Do you know what angel hair is?
Pasta?
No, not the pasta. Okay. Ed's not till 5 after, Scotty, so we'll talk about this, then we'll break, and we got a couple calls, and then we'll do Ed shortly after 1 o'clock. No, here's the thing. Nativity sets, which I believe are only a Catholic thing, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know if they're like an Episcopalian thing or what have you. A nativity set is a little tiny, it's like a little Barbie dream house. Except instead
it's a dollhouse for Jesus.
That's really what it is. Exactly. It's a little tiny wooden representation of the manger because there was no room at the inn. And then there are like little porcelain figures of Jesus and Mary and the wise men and a bunch of animals and crap and whatever. A lot of nativity scenes, which is what that's called, a lot of those little Jesus dollhouses, they have this stuff called angel hair, and it is a very pillowy spun glass, and it has the feel and consistency of hair. Like, imagine if you took a really soft, lustrous wig and just cut all the hair off so it wasn't, it was just loose and made it really curly and put it around to represent snow. That's kind of what it is. That's a dumb representation. But it is like...
Did you say thick, lustrous hair?
That's what I'm... You'll love baby Jesus's thick, lustrous hair.
If you have a dog with long white hair and it sticks to your clothes, it's the same thing.
It's like, but it's like sort of like instead of snow, you get this stuff that's like real soft, white, pillowy hair, but it's hair made out of spun glass, or at least it was. Now, I don't know what they make angel hair out of now. It might be just out of plastic or just some sort of synthetic product now, but the angel hair that we used was literally, again, it felt really soft. It felt very soft and very malleable, but it was made out of spun glass. And my dad just beat it into us over and over, like, don't eat that, as though you would. Like, why would you ever eat spun glass?
But then after he told you, you really wanted to eat it, didn't you?
Well, a little bit. Taste. And then I was like, wash your hands after touching the baby Jesus. And it was because the baby Jesus was covered in angel hair, covered in spun glass. And so I grew up with this whole idea in my head that the baby Jesus would kill you somehow. If you touched the baby Jesus and then touched your face, you would fall victim to some dread illness. So I viewed the baby Jesus as this, like, lethal thing to be feared when I was growing up. The baby Jesus will kill you. And I don't really mean the baby Jesus will kill you.
We're trying to ruin Christmas for everyone.
The baby Jesus, to wrap up, will kill you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
God bless us, everyone.